بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال تعالى ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, it is only through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to have these gatherings of islah, of trying to correct our lives, to improve our lives, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and His treasure, to redirect our lives from the evil habits that we indulge in, from sin, from vice, from evil, and to become closer to Allah Ta'ala by polishing our hearts and removing the filth that has accumulated and corroded our hearts, and so that we can become the friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And therefore we have for now a long time been speaking about those pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who from their biographies we have understood how they lived a life of piety, taqwa, Allah consciousness, ittiba of sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the care, the love they had for mankind, the way they dealt with people, the akhlaq, the character, the temperament, the disposition, the ibadat, the wara', the taqwa, the humility. All these things are lessons for all of us so that we can use these as guidelines and to improve our own lives. And like this, we have already spoken in detail about Hazrat Marana Hussain Ahmad Madi Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Marana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Marana Rashid Ahmad bin Gohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Marana Khalil Ahmad Saharupuri Rahmatullah Ali, and in between so many other mashayikh, Shaykh al-Hind Rahmatullah Ali, his name was mentioned so often, Marana Muhammad Yaqub Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, Mawla Mamluk Ali Rahmatullah Ali, these names we never heard previously. But they came from Darul Uloom Deoband, or they had the connection with Darul Uloom Deoband. And Alhamdulillah, there is no doubt, as I mentioned previously also, mashallah, there are many pious people throughout the globe. People past, lived in the past, people are present also. Inshallah, there will be people, pious people till the day of Qiyamah. But in particular, we spoke about Darul Uloom Deoband, our roots go there. And we have seen certain features, certain things about them that made them so outstanding. Inshallah, tonight, we hope to discuss something about Hazrat Marana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, Hakim al-Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millah. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah was a unique personality. And inshallah, as we see just a few discussions about him, you will understand the caliber of this man. There isn't an alim who finishes his alim course and still passes on this deen, whether it is waaz, nasihat, sermons, majlises, or teaches in a madrasa, but that he has to go through some writings of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, whether it is his commentary on the Quran, whether it is his explanation on ahadith e mubarakah, whether it is jurisprudence, fiqh, fatawa, whether it is tasawuf, whether it is qira'ah, you name the different signs, and Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah has excelled in all this. In Quran, Bayanul Quran, we will discuss inshallah. I'll just mention, by the way, whatever comes now in mind is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever will be beneficial, we hope Allah ta'ala makes it a means of hidayat for myself and for all of us. Bayanul Quran, presently we find it's in 3 volumes. So some prints are 2 volumes, some are 3 volumes. But it is absolutely amazing what Hazrat Marana Thani Rahmatullah has done there. For the ordinary person, it is impossible to really understand and to really appreciate the writing of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah in that tafsir. It is more scholarly work, for the ulama, and that also, the ulama also won't just understand it very easily. One has to read many other tafaseer first, and then appreciate what Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali has given in just a few words. Yes, it's written in Urdu, and then he's got a section which he has, which is in Arabic, and amazing. So you think, how does this man, look at his, the level of his Arabic also. And his explanations, the tafsir he gives, sometimes it takes us so long to read so many tafsir and then to have some understanding, and in just two, three lines, two, three words he uses, and he explains the tafsir so beautifully, so easily. So as a Thani Rahmatullah Ali, he sacrificed his life for this deen. He's mentioned he was born on the 5th of Rabi Uthani, 1280 AH, in the village of Thana Bhawan. Now we have heard Thana Bhawan, Thana Bhawan, Saharanpur. These names are familiar now. He lost his mother at a tender age. He grew up with his father and more with his father's sister, his aunt. So his father had was wealthy, affluent background, but his father had a lot of love for him. And his father took great pains in teaching Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali and his younger brother discipline and good character. Again, this is something for all of us, and this is a common problem today. Every second house, what's the complaint? Children are not listening to me. Children have just walked out of the house. My son does not want to care for me. My daughter, I don't know when last I saw her. All this is because the tarbiyat was not done correctly. If the tarbiyat is done properly, many of us sitting, alhamdulillah, our parents, our grandparents were very strict. And they were strict for good reasons. And today we understand why they were strict. Why they brought us to the masjid. Why they made us read Surah Yasin in the morning. Before going to school in the morning, you rushing for school. It was the compulsory for us to read so many surahs before we left the home. When you come in the evening again, the parents always asking what you did, who you spoke to. All those things are part of tarbiyat, which a youngster today does not want to talk about. You mustn't tell him anything, lad. He wants complete freedom. And we have seen the harms and the consequences of those. So Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat's father was strict. But from a young age, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat's father showed him that love, affection, and somehow he chose him to take this part of ilm-e-deen. So from a young age, he had a great desire for even for salah. Little boy he was. So how little children play sometimes, you see, again, tarbiyat. You see, the mother is reading salat at home. So even if it's a boy, he will imitate and copy the mother in her salat. And you will see the child, your little child, you get so happy and you will marvel that he's going into sajda. Even though he'll look around, little child, what he knows about, what's the postures of salat, but he will follow certain things that he's seen. You see, tashahud, they like to even lift the finger, haween. They are very observant. The child will wear a topi, the little girl wears a scarf. So the Thani Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Ta'ala made, there are some people whom Allah choose from a little, from tender age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the shauq for deen, the shauq for salah. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to play. When he used to play, he should put shoes and make like a saf. So he should make these shoes as though they are musallis in one row and put another shoe in front, that's the imam. As a little child. So he plays him in the line, put one shoe in front, and he would express his happiness that his namaz is on. Little age here, small boy. But see the environment, because he grew it, then he would have the desire to give bayans and lectures. So he's going past some masjid, he'll go inside, sit there on the minbar, give some bayan. Nobody sitting there, but he had this desire. At the age of 12 years old, he began performing tahajjud salah and other nafil salahs and wazifa. It is mentioned about his aunt, paternal aunt. She was looking after him and she couldn't bear seeing this young child, 12 years old, waking up in that part of the night and he's making wudu and then he's reading tahajjud. She feels sorry for him. Shouldn't buy, beta, this is not compulsory. Go and sleep away, go and sleep away. And then he should feel so pity because he was firm and he would still read his salat and he would read long, long tahajjud. So she should feel pity for him that my little this nephew of mine is awake and she would sit by him and watch him reading his tahajjud salah. His love for deen was sown by his initial ustad, Maulana Fatah Muhammad Saab rahmatullahi alayh, and the basic kitabs he did by this Maulana Fatah Muhammad Saab and by his uncle. And after that he proceeded to Darul Ulum Dioban. He completed his studies, he qualified at the age of 19 or 20 years old. And from his student days, he became very famous for his intelligence and his sharp-wittedness. Again, it's difficult for us to understand the sharp-wittedness of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh. As we read Kitab, you see, he gives answers to such difficult questions, very difficult questions, that normally the alim will take few pages, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah, in just one or two words. And you'll find those words even rhyme, and the answer is given. So he was known for his intelligence in his student days, sharp-wittedness. And very important, he never wasted his time in futile play and amusement. You've seen the other mashayikh we explained, Osman Qasim Nanuti Ramatullah Ali also. He refused to play with the others. The other boys would force him, become angry with him. Hazrat Thani Ramadan especially did not waste his time in futile play and amusement. Such was his burning desire to obtain knowledge that he learned certain kitabs which could not study during the class time from his ustads. So there are certain kitabs that we do as, we call it Dars-e-Nizami, it's part of the subject, part of the syllabus, you do it in the class, there's a period for it, there's time for it, the ustad teaches you. But there's some other kitabs which are also important, and the person needs those kitabs to build his istidad, his capabilities. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali would not waste time at all, whilst his ustad is making wudu, at that time he'll sit nearby, and study those kitabs. In other words, he'll ask him some question, and while making wudu, they will give him the answer. Every moment was treasured, every moment. And the most important ustad of his, where he gained the most from, was Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali. He learned qiraat from the well-known Qari Muhammad Abdullah Sahib Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi Ali, and he mastered it. Hazrat Thani wrote kitab in Tajweed also, which is done in the Darul Ulum. So he became so good in Qiraat and Tajweed that it became so difficult to distinguish between the recitation of the Ustad and the teacher. He became so good in recitation that somebody would think the Ustad is reading, meanwhile it was the student. After qualifying, he spent 14 years in Kanpur, and he was teaching, doing some tasnif work, writing, propagating to the people. During this period, thousands of students, they quenched their thirst at benefiting from this ocean of knowledge. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Ramadhu was very young, still very young. 20 years he qualified as an alim. But people of Kanpur realized, this alim, young, mashallah, dedicated, so intelligent, they respected him, they honored him. And he became very famous. His bayans, his discourses were greatly appreciated and people began to print them in booklets. Very few scholars in the history of Islam have had so many of their discourses printed. The amount of works Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written run into hundreds or thousands. And as I mentioned, his books were not like simple books, very detailed on different matters. Some Mas'ala came about, immediately he would sit and he would write. And if anybody had differed, he would look at their difference of opinion and he would check again the Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, his understanding. And sometimes he would accept what they have said. And many times he will say no and he will show them and he will prove to them that why his answer is correct and he will send back his explanation to them. During his student days in Deoband, he desired to make a pledge at the hands of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali refused, saying that you are still studying. If you take bayat now, it's going to harm your studies. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah then wrote a letter to Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, complained to Haji Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, I want to take bayat to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, and he's refusing. Would you intercede on my behalf and tell Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali to accept my bayat? So he wrote to Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali. Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, as I mentioned, he's the sheikh of all these people. Allah Ta'ala blessed him. So when he wrote this request to Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, urging him to tell Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah to accept his bayat, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah received the letter, and he himself accepted Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah as his murid. He gave him bayat. The sheikh of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. When Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Rahmatullah Ali made hajj then with his father, 1 year after qualifying, he met Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali in Makkah, and then he renewed his bayat to Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali. After his return from Hijaz, he continued teaching and propagating while his desire for dhikrullah intensified. He used to deliver bayans while standing. It's mentioned about four to five hours continuously. In 1315, he left Kanpur on the advice of Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali. Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali will come to Thana Bhavan. So this was a divine plan for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that now he comes to Thana Bhavan, and the Khanka of Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali was once re-inhabited. It was again, it was rekindled. This was the termination of the first phase of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali's life. The second phase now, now he spent his time in Thana Bhavan in Tasawwuf, in the Khanka, and benefiting the masses in his Tazkiyah. Hakim Ummat Rahmatullah Ali wrote many books in every field, as I mentioned, Tafsir, Tasawwuf, Fiqh, Tasawwuf. All his works total more than 1,000. I read somewhere that when he passed away, Noor came out from between his two fingers because of the different Tasanif that he wrote. And if you see the picture they have of Thana Bhavan and Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali's Khanka, such a simple place, such a simple place. This place where he should make his salat, and the room where he wrote Bayan and Quran. Simple place. But Allah Ta'ala inspired these people, and Allah Ta'ala gave them barakah in their time, in their knowledge. So thousands of people then benefited. Most of us may know some of the works of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. If I ask you now, somebody would say, Behesht-e-Zewar, masterpiece. Actually, it is written for the woman folk. But it is mentioned, whoever studies this kitab properly, not just read it, understand it properly, like you became half an alim already. Behesht-e-Zewar. Munajat-e-Maqbool, we know. Bayan al-Quran, I explained now. When he wrote Bayan al-Quran, a person like Shah Anwar Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, who was known as the walking library. If I'm going to digress a bit, Hazrat Shah Anwar Kashmiri Rahmatullah is known as Shah Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. If you read a kitab once, I'm not talking about 2-3 pages or 20 pages kitab. We're talking about kitab which got 100, 200, 300 pages. He just reads it. Not even studying it. Reads it once. He'll remember it for the rest of his life. There are kitab we do. One kitab in fiqh, 4 volumes, thick volumes, called Hidayah, Hanafi fiqh. There's a commentary on that. Fathul Qadir. Hazrat Shah Anwar Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali went to somebody's house, and it was a holiday time. He was young. So he looked around and he saw in the box some kitab. So he picked up, it was one copy of Fathul Qadir. I think it was Kitabul Hajj. He merely read that in his leisure time. 20 years later, from his memory, he wrote exactly what he had read there. So this is no fairy tale, it is genuine. Read all the books and the works he has written. He has written commentaries in Arabic language. Commentary of Bukhari Sharif. And not easy just to read and understand. Very, very detailed, intricate. So Hazrat Maulana Shah Anwar Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, who was known as the walking library, he says that his heart was always towards Arabic books and kitabs and writings. His desire to learn Urdu and to master Urdu came about after he read Bayan al-Quran of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. So when he read Bayan al-Quran, he used to say that after reading Bayan al-Quran, he developed a desire to read Urdu kitabs. Again, sincerity, ikhlas. Now in any works, whether you're doing dawat al-tabligh, whether you're giving bayan, whether you're teaching in a madrasa, whether you're teaching hifz class, whether you're in organization, whether you're doing charitable works, whatever it is, any dini khidmat, the bottom line is ikhlas, 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 sincerity. A little bit we go off, all the effort you did is zero, cancel. And sometimes it's just a small action you did, very small. But because of your sincerity, Allah accepts it so much that Allah increases the reward of more than a mountain. So although the Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Rahmatullah wrote such a large number of books, he did not earn a cent from his publications. Not one cent. Lillah, it was Lillah. All his work was solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. He granted full permission to anyone who desired to print his books. Some of his works have been through hundreds of editions. Many are translated. Basis Zawar is translated. Munajat-e-Maqbool. Many of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah, the Tasawuf Kitabs, Hayatul Muslimin, we'll discuss this now. All those are translated in English, and many of them have been done here in South Africa as well. So we have no excuse that we can't understand Urdu, we don't know Arabic. These books have been translated into English. So some of his works, there are hundreds of editions. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Rahmatullah used to say that all praises are due to Allah Ta'ala, because all the essential work has been done. The path towards deen has been cleared for centuries. Inshallah, his books, his discourses and advice will be of assistance for generations, inshallah. So Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Rahmatullah Ali, he writes that it was 20th Jumad al-Ula, and whilst he was in Fajr Salah, suddenly he got some inspiration. It happens that about the effects of certain deeds that we do. And he felt that if we practice on these deeds, then calamities that are coming down, masaib, will be moved away. So Hakim al-Ummat then wrote, he gathered 25 usul, 25 principles, and he wrote the book Hayatul Muslimin. It's translated by Majlis al-Ulama. It's in English. So although Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Rahmatullah wrote over 1,000 books, he had this to say. He said, I never had any thought of any of my books being a means of salvation for me. However, I have some hopes regarding Hayatul Muslimin that it could be a means of my salvation, inshallah. I regard it as the earning and capital of my entire life. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of reading it, inshallah. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat spent his life serving deen in every field. It's for this reason that people gave him the title of Hakim al-Ummah, Mujaddidul Millah. So he lived for an age of 83 years, and he passed away in 1362, that is corresponding 20th July 1943. His janazah was performed by his nephew, Mawlana Zafar Ahmad Usmani. Mawlana Zafar Ahmad Usmani, also another brilliant scholar, alim, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah's nephew. He spent his time, his life in the sohbat of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, and he has written a masterpiece called, just remember the name inshallah, someday it will help you, or your child becomes an alim, or your grandchild, or great-grandchild, I'la us-sunan. Couple of volumes. They, especially the Hanafi fiqh, and all the explanations from different ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum says that Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to say, and we've mentioned this quite a few times regarding when we talk about humility, tawazu. He said, I consider myself inferior to every Muslim currently. In other words, every Muslim, every believer, every Muslim is greater than me. Filhal, at this present. And every non-Muslim is greater than me with regard to the future. What does it mean? That because I got iman, so obviously, a disbeliever can never be greater than you because you got iman. Nothing greater than iman. But I am a believer, you're a believer. He did not regard another believer to be inferior to him. He genuinely believed that every other person is superior to him. Believing people, currently. And for the future, if that disbeliever brings iman later on, he becomes a believer and therefore he's superior to me. So fil ma'al, for the future. So he meant that at this time I'm inferior to every Muslim and inferior to every non-Muslim with respect to the future. Because a non-Muslim may accept Islam in the future and become more advanced than myself. Mullah Tariq al-Mazul Ali was more concerned with rectifying his own self than correcting others. Once, when he had to deliver many lectures, he said, whenever I find the need of reforming myself, in other words, when he's choosing a topic, for example, in majlis, you got a Jummah bayan, what topic can I choose? He would choose that topic to speak on, looking at his own self, to do introspection of his life. He feels this particular quality is lacking, this good quality is lacking in me, so he'll speak on that. That is addressing himself. If he had some weakness, he'll speak about that. So he said, whenever I find the need for reforming myself, I speak on that specific shortcoming of mine. This method is very beneficial. He said, he gave a bayan on anger. This is an example. I had this weakness, so I spoke on anger. And obviously after you speak about it, then you realize you're telling everybody else, then I should be also making amal on it. Or more than the people, first I should be making amal on it. Once after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Thani rahmatullah said, I am never unmindful of reckoning with my own self. Whenever I admonish a disciple of mine, I also inspect my own self and I continuously seek Allah's protection from his reckoning. So whenever I used to admonish any murid of mine, you find in the life of Hazrat Thani rahmatullah, you know, some ordinary person, you just read one, two, waqiyah, very heavy he was. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah, you see himself. Why do the people think that? It is only for their own good. Just reading one of the kitabs, somebody had gone to him. Obviously, he had a lot of usul. This is something that we have to understand. Principles. He didn't have a haphazard, chaotic life. Many of us, there's no discipline in our life. When there's no discipline in your life, there won't be barakat in your time because you got no timetable. You'll do things haphazardly, carefree, whenever you feel, so you'll never be productive. Just listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking philosophy or very high stuff. It's simple. A person has discipline in his life. I keep on mentioning this to the students in madrasa. If you have discipline in your life, you'll be productive. Because every moment you will relish. I know, I got so many paras to finish for the day. Keep isha time. I'm one para short. It's going to make me restless. I won't sleep. I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about those who do it. The person won't sleep until he accomplishes that quota for the day. Mamulat. Now you and I, if we told to read 100 times, la ilaha illallah in the morning, 100 times in the evening, we read 10 times, became ghafil, we forgot, tomorrow we'll see. No discipline in your life, no tazkiyah is going to take place. You cannot make mujahada. You cannot be productive. Forget about trying to become reaching very, very high wilayat, etc. Simple thing. And Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali had this in his life. You couldn't just go in his khanka. Many times, many of us, any Buzhu will come, we just walk in and we like think we are very free. In his khanka, no matter who you are, there were times that you could come. You come after the time, there were some great Buzhus who went to visit him. Khanka is closed. You came late. We did one example. We had Thani Muhammad Ahmad Maddi Ramadurari. That night he came, Khanka was closed, Hazrat Madni slept at the door. In the morning Hazrat Thani said, Ya Allah, Maulana, why didn't you tell me? He said, no, I'm following the usul of your Khanka. Didn't you? So these people came late, Hazrat Thani Ramadurari's usul finished. He would feel in his heart, I wish they came earlier. Somebody comes there. Hazrat, Salaam alaikum, tabhi jaiye. Do you speak like Bhai, go learn. Piche jao, masjid ki piche, one man there. Go learn how to make salam properly. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We also have the problem. Assalamualaikum, salams. Salams. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Go learn and then come. The man will go practice, come back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This discipline. This is proper islah, which most of us don't want. It's painful. Difficulty. I must go learn all this. What's wrong with these people? Somebody came to his khanka, and at that moment, Hazrat Thani Ramadhu was reprimanding somebody. The person did something wrong. So he's making islah. He told the khadim, take his bedding and put it outside. They would do those things. Purpose was what? To take out pride from the person. This is a disease that most of us have. Most of us. Pride. How can he, who is he to tell me? And when the pride is out, then you are sailing. Inshallah. So he reprimanded, told the khadim, take his belongings and go take him outside. So another very great person came. He's thinking, bhai, hey, what's going on here? What's wrong with you? How can you do this? Hazrat Thani Ramadhu told his khadim, take this man's bedding and also take it outside. Did he come for his own islah or did he come to make my islah? If he came to make my islah, a different story. If he came for his own islah, he must keep quiet, follow the adab and the rules of this khanka. There was one person who came and then his tazkiyah was being made, his islah was being made, he found Hazrat Thani Ramadhu too heavy. So he ran away from there. And he went in search for Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali. So he goes there to the place. He said, I'm looking for Maulana Madni, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni. So this man told him, okay, right, just relax. We'll show you just now. You came from far. Give you some meals, give him some nice food, hot meals. Made him sit down nicely. This man is still impatient. I'll meet Maulana Madni. He said, just now, we'll take you. So this man tells him, see, your clothes are a bit dirty, you came from far. So he gave him another chadar to wear, lungi. He said, just give me this, I'll just clean it for you. So he goes and washes it. And this man washing everything. He come back, it's dry, he wears it. He tell me, where's Maulana Madni, I need to meet him, man. He said, log mujhe Maulana Madni bulate. I'm the Maulana Madni you're looking for. Oh, this man is now perspiring, ya Allah. You are this Hazrat, and I just spoke like that. Then he says, see, I went to Hazrat Thani Ramadhullah Ali. I couldn't take it there, I ran away from there. He's so jalali, so strict, and you like so soft. And I said, Ahmad, Allah forgive us. Somebody else would have said, yeah, don't go, come here, yeah. I'll sort you out. He said, you know, Hazrat Thani Ramadhullah Ali, wo to tabib hai. He's a doctor, he's a physician. He does operations. He does surgery. And me, you got some cut, I just put some ointment, some marham for you. That's all. Asal wo hai. That's the thing that you need, the tabib. So many people would feel as a Thani Ramadhu to be very strict, very strict. But it was for what reason? That is why he would say very clearly, bhai, agar bayat, you coming for tazkiyah and bayat and all, you go to certain person, you become ill, you go to certain person, you become insan, come to me. If you become a human being, then you come to me. So he would teach the people discipline. And no matter who you are, scholar, alim, yes, he respect every person, he had love for every person. And you can see from here, he regarded every believer to be greater than him. And you see from his writing, it wasn't just something he would just say. He meant it. He did it. And he wasn't shy to say that it was my weakness. And you see from his incidents, his humility. Remarkable, remarkable. So Hazrat Thani Ramadhullah Ali spoke about ghadab, anger. As I mentioned to you, he was very close to Hazrat Maulana Rashid Gangohi Ramadhullah Ali. He said, amongst my teachers, I was spiritually attached to Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali more than anybody else, with the exception of Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali. Of course, I explained to you how he took bayat to Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali. Allah Ta'ala planned it such. But he benefited spiritually a lot from Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. He said, I have never witnessed such a unique personage, one in whom external and internal goodness merge so cohesively, like Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. As a Thani Rahmatullah Ali, in fact, himself, he received so much affection and spiritual training from Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And look at this. Upon the arrival of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he's coming to Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah. This is Ustad. As Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, say, when you arrive, I become alive. As though I am dead before you came. You came, then you made me alive. Once Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah came to Gangohi to deliver a lecture, Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali sent all his, whoever was in his khankadi, all his visitors, go listen to that bayan. He said, all of them. He said, what you're doing here? Why are you wasting time here? Go and listen to that Maulana. He's a truthful scholar. Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah also sent some of his students to Thana Bhavan to benefit from the ocean of knowledge and the spirituality of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Ali. So he benefited, he was very close to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. He got spiritual training from him and of course from Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali a lot. And also, I talk, as far as his kitabs and all were concerned, he benefited mostly from Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayh. Just a few aspects regarding life, inshallah, then we terminate. Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullahi Alayh, we heard his name. He is the father of Awazat Mawlana Salman Nadwi, Professor Mawlana Salman Nadwi. So, this is his father. His father was known as Allama Sayyid, the Sayyids. Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah. Another brilliant, brilliant alim. It's a long story how what brought the change in his life and how he was a great alim, very intelligent, extremely intelligent. But as far as tazkiyah and things are concerned, he really benefited after he took birth to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. So despite being such a profound alim, he still came to Thana Bhavan. Initially he thought, what this Buddha, what he is talking about? This old man. People saying Thana Bhavan, Thana Bhavan, Mahashabritani. When he came, then just one gathering, one majlis, changed his whole life. And he took bayat at the hands of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Someone asked him, you're such a powerful alim, profound alim. What is the need for you to go to Thana Bhavan, take bayat there? He replied, by coming here to Thana Bhavan, I really came to know how ignorant I really was. This has been mentioned by who? Mufti Mahmud Sahib, Mufti Mahmud Hassan Rahmatullah Gangohi Rahmatullah in his Malfuzat. Again, these people live night and day in the khidmat of deen, either studying kitabs, ibadat, seeing to people's needs, seeing to the problems of the ummah. So the whole day and night would go in that, that they hardly had any time to sleep. We mentioned specifically about, if you remember, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. That he went towards the Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali to Saharanpur just to take some rest and to sleep. And the Sheikh took everybody away, let Hazrat sleep nicely. And Hazrat Sheikh was hoping that today Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, I can see him sound asleep. And he needed the sleep because few days had went by and no sleep. And he's hoping that he oversleeps so he can stay longer with us. Exactly on time, Hazrat Madina wakes up himself. He says, bye bye, I have to go to the station now. So they would, it happened. Many mashayikh, you travel with them, you close to them, you see, hardly sleeping. Here Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, so once one Abdul Latif Sahib, the former supervisor of Saharanpur, he comes to Thana Bhavan. He requested Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali to give a lecture. Because long time people, we haven't heard your bayan. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah requested him to make dua first, that I get some sleep. I haven't slept for the past 17 nights. For us, who won't understand it? Dua was made, and Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah managed to get some sleep for about 2 3/4 hours. When he woke up, he commented, Alhamdulillah, today I have really slept a lot. I managed to sleep for 2 3/4 hours, and after that, he then gave the bayan. Now, this again, you see, i'tidal, balance. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah had usul, principle. He had a timetable. It's regarding two people that I have come across, maybe others as well, but two specific people from these akabir, whose entire year, the year planner, the time management remains the same throughout the 12 months. Even the month of Ramadan. Because they spent their time so fully and properly, that they didn't need to make any major adjustment, nothing. Everything carried on the same. One was Maulana Khalid Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, and the other is Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah got his usul now. After Isha, every single day, for the period that he took to write Bayan al-Quran, so he would spend a certain amount of time every day after Isha. This was his ma'mool. Ma'mool means his fixed duty, his fixed job. Nothing would stop him from that. Nothing. He mentioned, he didn't even get sick. This is from Allah Ta'ala. So you get sick, you can't manage today, I'll write tomorrow. No, nothing. So, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, this is his ma'mool after Isha. Now who comes to visit him? Shaykhul Hind, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind. Who's Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali? Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, Ustad. And some other buzurgs came. They went to Tanabu to meet Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah was a man who was very strict in his principles. They reached Tanabuwan at a time when Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah has set aside time now for his tasneef, for his work, especially for Bayan al-Quran. Now what does a person do with this? My ustad comes. But they didn't know, Hazrat, I can't see you. Disrespect. If I don't do my ma'mool, every day I'm doing this, my usul is going to break. Allah Ta'ala inspires such people. He met his asatiza first. He met Hazrat Shaykhul Hind, met those buzruks. Spoke to them, made them sit there, got somebody to bring, make the ikram for the meet. Hazrat, ijazat, give me some permission. He asked Shaykhul Hind, can I just take 15 minutes, please? Ah, Jali, ja, no problem. We are comfortable here. So he saw to them first, took permission for about 15 minutes, so that he could continue whatever he was doing for that night for, on Bayan al-Quran. So they permitted him, and in about 15 minutes time, he completed and he returned. And thereafter, he made ikram of his asatiza. So, he met them, he was not through them, showed them full respect, love and affection, and he still completed his work. Under normal circumstances, if it was someone else, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah would not have come. But because it was his asatiza that arrived, and he had to show proper respect, and time was given to them. Like this, there are so many other incidents, inshallah. I think we'll stop now. It's getting late also. Inshallah, if Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat, we'll continue next week. Again, may Allah Ta'ala inspire us with the teachings of these Buzhwani Deen. We just read the name, Hazrat Thanvi, Hazrat Thanvi. And many people have caused a lot of fitna and fasad regarding Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Some of his writings, they will just extract some sentences from here, there, not even understanding what the man is saying. And they would make false allegations. Some were misconstrued. Some were fabricated. By end of the day, these people were Allah walas. And it is our great hopes that these people are Jannatis. This is what we have. This, because they spend their time following Quran, Hadith, Sunnah of Rasulullah, following Sahaba Ikram. And as I mentioned, just a few examples. There are so many more examples from all these Buzughani Deen. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat again. Tarbiyat of our children. Tarbiyat of our children. Tarbiyat of our children. If they're not going to hear all this, who's to know a person like Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali? Who's to know Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Dhanuji Rahmatullah Ali? But you talk about movie stars, they know all his movie stars. Talk about cricket and soccer players, they know all the soccer teams in the world. They know what kind of hairstyle each one got. They know what number he is. They know all these things, the libas, the clothing, everything is there. So, if inshallah, this much we can do, and alhamdulillah, these things are all recorded. I may be making some errors, Allah forgive me. But to the best of our ability, we're trying inshallah myself first. When I read these people's works, and the desire comes, Ya Allah, how I wish I was like them. How they lived a life of such taqwa, such wara. We can't even match them. Can't even match them, let alone the works they have done. Look at even whatever their life was. Simple life. Allah gave them such maqbooliyat. And Allah gives maqbooliyat. Allah chooses. Allah says, you are my friend. Somebody asked, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, I was reading one of his malfuzat. Hazrat, make dua that I get rizaye
daimi. I get perpetual pleasure of Allah Ta'ala.
Hazrat said, daimi
riza? Kaise? What do you mean? Perpetual pleasure of Allah. Jab wo khush ho jaye, bas, khatam. When Allah gets happy with you once, He'll always be happy with you. You don't have to make always, Allah must perpetually be happy with you. Allah is happy with you, but Allah will always be happy with you. Now all these small things, inshallah, if we learn from the teachings, to make niyat, we must bring it to our lives, implement it, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, subhanahu wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashadu wa la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.